All right, I'm going to get into today's message. We've been doing a series titled New Wineskins, and today we are going to continue in that series, and we're going to look specifically at the fact that God wants to give us new vision or direction. All right, so I'm going to read our key scripture, and we're going to go into that. We'll maybe do a little bit of summarizing in case somebody's just sort of jumped into the series today and wondering where we're at. But let's read our key verse, Matthew 9, 14 to 17. One day the disciples of John the Baptist came to Jesus and asked him, "Why don't your disciples fast like we do and the Pharisees do?" Jesus replied, "Do wedding guests mourn while celebrating with the groom? Of course not. But someday the groom will be taken away from them and then they will fast. And besides, who would patch old clothing with new cloth? For the new patch would shrink and rip away from the old cloth, leaving it an even bigger tear than before. And no one puts new wine into old wineskins, for the old skins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins so that both are preserved." So just a quick explanation for those who maybe haven't been here in this series. We've talked about this a few times, but Jesus is talking to some religious mindsets of people who followed God, Pharisees, John the Baptist, disciples, and he's just giving them some clear picture. First, they're giving him a little bit of flack. How come you guys don't fast religiously like we do and the Pharisees do? And Jesus' answer clearly tells them, hey, fasting is not a religious duty. It's meant for life circumstances. It is something that you do when you're needing to get a hold of God for crisis, or as he said, they would fast when he left. Then he goes on to the more pertinent thing that he wants to tell them, that he's clearly saying, hey guys, God wants to do something new, and he's not going to use the same old way that you're used to. So he makes that really clear with two examples. One was the, you don't put new cloth on old material, it'll shrink and rip. But the second one he uses is the wineskins, and he says, you don't use old wineskins for new wine. And of course, if you know Bible times, new wine was simply grape juice. And when they harvested the grape juice, they would need to store it. They didn't have refrigerators like we do today to store juice, so they stored it, and they would store it in actual animal skins. The animal skin would be taken, you sew it up, except for we're going to pour the juice, and then that would be tied up tight. And that juice, of course, over the course of time would gain some alcohol content, and it would end up expanding. A new skin, a fresh skin from an animal, would stretch with the expanding, but an old skin would have no stretch and it would break. So Jesus is giving them a picture that every single person could understand from that day and age. And he's saying, guess what? God wants to do new things and he needs a fresh wineskin to do it. So we've been looking at what that means for you and I. I believe God wants to do new things in your life, new things in our lives. And for him to do it, we need to be stretchable, flexible. Is anybody here flexible? If you're a guy over 50, probably not. Anyways, let's just leave that alone. Flexible in the sense of, I can learn new things. I'm okay with trying new things. I'm okay with doing it differently. That's what we're talking about, flexible. But today specifically, we want to look at the fact that for us to be those new wineskins, for us to be a people that God can pour in what he wants to do today. Because you see, God had things he wanted to do yesterday, he has things he wants to do today. And he wants to use us. But for us to be usable, we need to be willing and able to get new vision or new or fresh direction. And we're going to look at that specifically. You see, I believe from God's word that becoming a new wineskin requires us to be listening and hearing from the Holy Spirit, from the Lord. And today we're going to call that new vision, our direction. You see, Jesus is our example. And Jesus in Scripture said he only did what he saw the Father do or heard the Father say. So this is really amazing. Now I know you're thinking, yeah, but he's the Son of God. That's easy for him. He was fully human, and he's our example in all areas. But let's just read a couple verses where Jesus clearly tells the people, hey, I don't do things on my own. I see and I hear. John 5:19. Jesus responded to the Jewish leaders, I assure you that the Son can't do anything by himself except what he sees the Father doing. Whatever the Father does, the Son does likewise. The Father loves the Son and shows him everything that he does. And he will show him greater works than these so that you will marvel. As the Father raises the dead and gives life, so too does the Son give life to whoever he wishes. So here is Jesus telling him, I only do what I see. And oh, by the way, in case you're wondering, the Father's shown me that he's going to raise the dead. So he's giving them clear picture that, hey, I don't just do random things on my own. Now, last weekend, we talked about the fact that we needed to change our methods sometimes. We get stuck in old methods, old ways. But we don't just do random crazy things to see what will happen. Anybody ever tried that? Every teenager on the planet. Anyways, don't just do random things to see what will happen. But let's hear, let's listen, and then let's move forward. John 8 and verse 26, Jesus speaking again. I have much to say about you, much to condemn you for. The one who sent me, however, is truthful, and I tell the world only what I've heard from him. Let me stop right there for a second. This version makes it fairly clear that Jesus is talking to some of these religious people, and he's actually saying, there's a few things I'd like to tell you, but I'm only going to say what God has asked me to say. Isn't that interesting? He was human just like us. And then in verse 27, they did not understand that Jesus was talking to them about the Father. So he said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, you will know that I am who I am. And you will know that I do nothing on my own authority, but I say only what the Father has instructed me to say. So Jesus said, I'm going to ask the Father. He's going to show me what to do. And he only spoke what the Father instructed him to speak. One more verse about Jesus. John 12:49. This is true. Because I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me has commanded me what I must say and speak. And I know that his commandment brings eternal life. What I say then is what the Father has told me to say. So Jesus clearly had a relationship, communion with the Father enough that he was seeing and hearing what to do on a daily basis. Would you guys agree with that? Two people over here agreed. Would anybody else agree with that? That's what the Bible's showing. Yes, you can nod. I'm okay with nods too. Just want to make sure you're following with me. You and I, as followers of Christ, should do similar. Jesus told his followers, he said, I'm the vine and you are the branches if you abide in me. What does abiding in him mean? It means having communion, relationship, and hearing. If you're in a relationship right now, today, I guarantee the relationship is only as healthy as the communion that you have. It will be as healthy as the back and forth talk and communication necessary. If your relationship has very little communication, it's probably struggling. You know, if you're a guy, you're like, oh no, it's wonderful. Let us talk to your spouse. Guys always think relationships are going wonderful. But let communication happen. Communication is so important in natural relationships. Communication is also important in our relationship with the Father. And he wants to communicate with us. Did you know that? He is not a distant God who wants us to never hear from him, or only hear from him when we got saved, or you know, only hear from him when we got filled with the Holy Spirit. He wants us to hear from him and have communion or communication with him often. You see, we need fresh vision and direction because according to Scripture, without vision, people perish. Everybody say perish. That's an old word that means die. Perish without vision. If you don't have a path forward, if you don't have a destination, if you don't have direction for life, you will end up going around in circles. You'll be like the hamster on the wheel, going nowhere, doing the same thing. Has anybody here ever had a hamster? They are boring to watch. I mean, it's painful. They do the until they're so tired, and then they go off and they eat some more, and then they do other stuff, and then they go back on the wheel. Too many people live that way. Why? Because they don't have a direction. They don't have a purpose. They don't even know the pathway they're on. They're bouncing around like a ball in a pinball machine. Well, life is exciting wherever I get bounced. How about have a direction, a plan, knowing where you're headed? Maybe like, well, how can that be? I just have to work and pay bills. If you're living just to work and pay bills, you need fresh direction. You need a vision for why you're here and where you're going. Because I believe that God has created every single person with vision, direction, and purpose. And the only way you'll get there is if you know. I believe He has a map for you. And it's better than Google Maps. He knows where the road construction is happening. You know, I remember back in the days when we used paper maps. Anybody else here? You had a paper map for every province and pull it out of the glove box. We need to know where we're going. You had to have a co-pilot, right? And you'd follow it. I remember years ago, we went down to the, down in the States, man, we had a map for BC. We had a map for the next state and the next state. We had lines drawn on them and off we'd go. And even today, almost no one would go somewhere without punching it in maps to give you directions. And that annoying lady, turn right at the next, you know. And you go by, make a U-turn at the next. Yeah, it's like, okay, we got this. Yet how many for our lives are hearing no direction? We're just figuring it out as we go. I believe God wants to give us clear directions, and He says so in Scripture. Without vision, we perish. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keeps the law, happy is he. You see, we must have vision. We must have direction. Psalm 119:105. Your word is a lamp to guide my feet and a light for my path. The word of God will light your way. It will make clear your path. The word there is defined as what is said. What is said. In other words, he's not actually talking about the written law at that moment that he's writing. He's talking about the communication of God, his word, what he says. That is the same word that the prophets would use when they say, the word of the Lord came to me, here's what it is. So it's the revealed word of God to the writer. It is a lamp. It illuminates your path. Anybody feel like they're walking on a little bit of a dark path? He wants to illuminate it. He wants to speak to you. He wants to give you clarity about where you're going. I've found that people have no clarity about where they're going or don't even know what's next are often discouraged or fearful or depressed. But I have good news. The God we serve wants to speak. Because you see, the Word of God is alive and well, and He still speaks today. I said He for a reason. The Gospel of John starts this way. Let me read it. John 1, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through Him all things were made. Without Him nothing was made that has been made. And verse 14, further down in the chapter, the Word became flesh and made His dwelling among us. We have seen His glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. You see, the Word is living, and the Word, according to Gospel of John chapter 1, is Jesus. Guess what? He still speaks today. Jesus is not dead, he's alive. But how come for some of us it seems like the word is dead? We don't hear anything, or maybe we haven't heard for a long time, or maybe we didn't even know we could hear. Now, yes, this written word records things that the Lord said, and it has life and power in it as well, but he's still speaking today. You see, that word that was with God and was God and created all things was Jesus. Think about it. If you read Genesis, how did he create all things? And God said, let there be. And God said, let there be. Can I say something this morning? Jesus is still speaking and still creating. You see, Jesus is still speaking new life. Jesus is still speaking healing. Jesus is still speaking freedom. Jesus is still speaking forgiveness. And Jesus is still speaking salvation. Jesus is still speaking through the Holy Spirit. And Jesus is still speaking through you and I. Is he speaking through you? You see, he wants to create some new things in your life right now. So what is he saying? What is the word? What is he speaking to you and for you? You see, you need to get in agreement with what Jesus is speaking for your life and then start speaking it out loud and clear. But here's the key. If you're not hearing anything, if you don't know what he's speaking, how do you say it? How do you declare it? He's still speaking today. Now, don't worry, we're going to get to that. We're actually going to take some time in the service today to allow Holy Spirit to speak. You see, for us to have that new vision or direction from the Lord, I believe you can go to your scripture. He can speak to you through that, but he also wants to speak to you in the way the Holy Spirit speaks. He speaks through dreams. He speaks through visions. He speaks through the still small voice. He speaks directly to your spirit. And the kind of change, the flexibility that you and I need to have God pour in the new things, it is going to have to come from the Holy Spirit. You see, Spirit-led change or vision begins with Holy Spirit direction. Zechariah 4:6 says this, "This is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord Almighty." And Isaiah 30:21, "Whether you turn to the right or to the left, you will hear a voice saying, this is the road, now follow it." When the Holy Spirit speaks, it is way better than that annoying Google voice. This is the way. Walk in it. He actually wants to speak that much to me? He does. He wants to give you peace when you're going down that road. He wants you to know that, hey, that's the place to go. That's the person I want you to talk to. That's the job I want you working at. That's the friend I want you to spend time with. Maybe there's someone here today and you're like, I don't have a friend. How do you find friends? Why don't you pray and ask the Holy Spirit? Who do you want for my friend? Who should I call? Who should I take for coffee? You see, he cares about the little things as well as the big things. John 16, verse 13, Jesus makes it super clear how he wants to speak to us in our day and time. He's talking to his followers about the time when he will be ascending to the right hand of the Father, and he says this, "When the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on his own, but will tell you what he has heard. He will tell you about the future. He will bring me glory by telling you whatever he receives from me." So how do we hear the things Jesus wants to speak today? Through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is speaking the words of Jesus. And he wants us to hear. It says that he will guide us into all truth. Communication has to happen for us to be guided into all truth. School has started and many of us have kids at school. If they went to school and came home and told us the teacher never said a word the whole time, you'd be worried, wouldn't you? I don't think they're learning anything. You see, the Holy Spirit guides you and I. We need to have ears that hear what he's saying. In the book of Revelation, John, the revelator, got revelation from God, and then he gave it to the churches. And if you read in those chapters where he first started hearing from Jesus and giving it out, he often had these words, "He that has ears to hear what the Spirit is saying, let him hear." Are our spiritual ears open enough to hear? We're going to talk a little bit more about that in a minute. You see, I believe the Holy Spirit is speaking all the time. But are our ears open? Are we hearing? I want to read a story in Acts chapter 16, and then we're going to talk a little bit about our ears hearing. And we're actually going to take some time today to pray, to hear. We're going to ask the Lord to open our ears. But let's read the story in Acts chapter 16. It's the story of Paul and Silas and how the Holy Spirit leads them. Next, Paul and Silas traveled through the area of Phrygia and Galatia because the Holy Spirit had prevented them from preaching the word in the province of Asia at that time. Then coming to the borders of Mysia, they headed north for the province of Bithynia, but again the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them to go there. So instead they went on to Mysia to the seaport of Troas. Did you know that the Holy Spirit can tell you no? Some of us in our faith with the Lord are like, you know, the two-year-old who doesn't like to be told no. The Holy Spirit can say no. And we need to be able to hear that and listen. You know, Paul and Silas were on a journey to do exactly what Christ had commanded them to do when he left. Go into all the earth and preach the gospel. They were on track following the word he gave before he left. Totally doing God's purpose. And they came to this area and Holy Spirit said, no. So Paul and Silas threw a big fit and did it anyways. No, they didn't. They got mad and said, well, obviously God doesn't want me. No, they didn't. They moved on. They're like, okay, he said no, let's go to the next place. They go to the next place. He said no again. Has the Holy Spirit ever told you no? Yeah. I'm going to move to Edmonton. No. Okay, anyways. I throw that out every once in a while, you know. No. He's allowed to say no, and we need to listen. But Holy Spirit, of course, didn't leave it there. And Paul and Silas just kept moving forward. In verse 9, that night Paul had a vision. A man from Macedonia in northern Greece was standing there pleading with him, come over to Macedonia and help us. So we decided to leave for Macedonia at once, having concluded that God was calling us to preach the good news there. You see, when Holy Spirit says no, there's a reason. Paul and Silas would have listened to Holy Spirit direction closely, and they would have moved in that because, you see, they were in ministry, but every day that they're in ministry, they risked their lives. There were other disciples who had been killed for their faith. Paul had one time gotten lowered in a basket out of the city because there was men who had taken a vow that they were not going to eat till they killed him. You see, they didn't just randomly do things. They followed and listened for a purpose, for a reason. And those places that God said no, they would eventually be reached with the gospel, but he said no to Paul and Silas. At that time, at that season, did that mean no forever? No, it didn't. Holy Spirit speaks in times and seasons, in your time and season today. He may be saying something different than he said last year because you're ready now. You have to be listening. I've met people that God spoke something 10 or 15 years ago and they haven't heard a word since and they get mad if anybody does it different. Listen again. Open your ears. What's he saying? Well, I remember way back, God told me this is the way you're supposed to do worship. And now people do it all different. They even have lights. That's evil. You better be doing exactly how he told you then, but are you still listening? And you know what? He's also allowed to tell somebody else to do things differently than he told you. Because he told it for you, for your location, for your time, for the people that you were working with. Don't judge others by what he spoke to you. You see, I believe Holy Spirit wants to speak to each one of us clearly what he has in store, and he wants to have a time for each of us where we're communicating. When you're learning to hear from the Holy Spirit, I believe that you need to make a set time, and it needs to be that secret place where you actually turn other things off, shut out other things, and say, okay, Holy Spirit, here I am. I'm talking to you, but I'm going to be quiet and also listen back. Do you know when you do that often enough, you can hear and communicate anywhere, anytime. But I believe setting aside a specific time says, I'm serious about this. I need to hear. You may have some prayer things that are, you know, I really could use some answers on these things, Holy Spirit. And then you listen. I'm going to encourage you to have a notebook with you when you pray and ask Holy Spirit to guide you and write things down. If you've never done that, do that. I'm also going to encourage you, if you want to hear from Holy Spirit, you're going to need to silence your phone. You're not going to find that in the Bible. They didn't have cell phones then. But you will find getting into the secret place with God. And Matthew says, go into your closet and pray. There's kind of no more of a secret place with nobody bugging you than a closet. Anybody with claustrophobia has trouble with that one. It's okay. Just go in a secret place somewhere that's bigger. He wants to speak to you. Silence the phone. Shut it off and listen for what he wants. Did you know that many people today actually have an addiction to their phone? Do you want to find out if you have an addiction to your phone? Tell the Lord you're going to pray and you're going to silence your phone and set it over there and see how you do. If you're like, oh, I'm going to miss a text. What if they Snapchat me? Oh, what if they go on Facebook and I miss it and I can't like it or comment? Oh, I can't do it. And then you start sweating. You're really addicted. But anyways, it's a great practice to say, okay, this does not own me. So I encourage you to do that this week. I'm serious. Don't let it own you. And obviously, we're talking about prayer for the Holy Spirit, but sometimes you need to silence that thing and set it aside for others in your family as well. Just be okay with it. So there's a couple things. I don't know why we're getting on the phone addiction, because I think it's just something that can really bother every age group now that owns a phone. And especially the younger teenagers, I mean, they're still developing in how they relate and do things. You need times without it. You need times where you can be you. Another way to know if you may be addicted, if somebody in your family is saying, it seems like you're on your phone too much, and you react with anger, you're probably struggling with addiction, because people who are addicted, when someone brings it up, their reaction is anger. Seems like you're drinking too much. I get to relax after work. Anger is usually a sign, oh, there's an issue. So if someone in your family has been mentioning things and your reaction has been anger, talk to the Holy Spirit about it with your phone silenced. Because he wants you to be better. He wants you to live life to the full. His word is good. I don't want anybody leaving here today going home and getting mad at each other because I mentioned phones, okay? Don't do that. Don't go home and like, see, Pastor Danny said, I told you. Don't. Just leave it, okay? Oh, man. You'd be calling me for counseling. It'll be my fault. Okay, Holy Spirit wanted someone to know that. All right, so here's what we're going to do for a little bit of the time before we wrap up with announcements. It's going to be a few minutes, but I want to directly pray for our ears to be open to hear in the Spirit. I know that some of you probably do hear things from the Spirit, but maybe many don't, or maybe some it was a long time ago. I'm going to give you a couple things first, and then we're going to pray. So if you used to hear from the Spirit and now you don't, there could be a reason. And I'm going to say this. Scripture clearly tells us that the flesh and the Spirit war against each other. So too much flesh, the Spirit gets pushed out. So, you know, obviously if you're knowingly living in sin, you're going to close the door to hearing from the Holy Spirit for sure. Okay? But maybe you're like, well, no, I'm not in any kind of sin. Great. But maybe you're just filling yourself with a lot of worldly things with no time for Spirit things. You're also going to cause yourself to what I call be spiritually deaf. There's just too much other noise that drowns him out. Okay, so there's a couple things that you can know. So you're like, okay, well, what do I do? Well, obviously, deal with issues that need to be dealt with. Get help if you need help. Okay? If you've been struggling in some type of sin for a long time and you haven't gotten victory, get help. It's that important. Don't be like, well, I'm just going to cover it up because that's what I always do. No, no, get help. All right? So that's one of the things. And I'm also going to bring this out. Some of these, actually, the Holy Spirit spoke last night, but I know that he's saying, okay, some of these I want you to speak this morning as well. If you really want your ears to be open, you want to be in tune to the Holy Spirit, one of the things that I saw was there was someone, they were just listening to a lot of music that didn't glorify God. It wasn't, you wouldn't say it was evil music or even bad, but it was just not glorifying to God. And by filling themselves with that, they were shutting out the Holy Spirit and it was causing spiritual deafness. So I'm just going to throw that out. Maybe someone needs that. You see, these aren't things that you're bad or you've done something wrong. These are things that can help you hear in the Spirit if you want to. And I hope you want to. Because, oh my goodness, he's got some amazing things he wants to show you. He wants to show you future things that haven't happened yet in your life. He wants to do miracles through you, and he's going to show you before they happen. According to Scripture, everything that God has planned to do, he first reveals. It says he reveals to his prophets. Why did he reveal to his prophets? Their job after something was revealed was to do what? Prophesy. Speak. He wants to reveal to you. The next thing you do when he reveals is write it down, speak it. I write things down so I don't forget. Maybe you're like, I never forget. No, that's okay. Speak it. So these are some tips for you. Remember, not hearing at all. Okay, Lord, why? But I also believe there can be a spiritual deafness where maybe there's some trauma in your life or spiritual things that have happened where you're blocked. So we're going to pray about that here in just a bit. And then we're going to ask Holy Spirit to speak to you guys. We're going to ask him just to speak and open ears and do what he wants to do. Is everybody okay with that? Do I have anybody who's scared right now? Don't put your hand up. Don't be scared. This is a good thing. And I'll also say, if Holy Spirit revealed something to me that's private or it's for you, I don't publicly share things that are private. And obviously, if I did, he wouldn't reveal it to me because he's way too nice. He's way too good. Okay? So you never have to be afraid. If you go to a meeting and you're afraid, I would suggest that's probably not the Holy Spirit that's operating then. Because Holy Spirit is like a gentle dove. Holy Spirit wants to bring you forward, not crush you. Okay? So you should never be afraid in a meeting where Holy Spirit is moving. You're like, yeah, but I sinned so bad during the week, so now I'm afraid. Did you know about this thing called forgiveness? Never be afraid. Ask him to forgive. Ask him to look after it, and he will. Somebody needed that. Okay, we're going to pray. Just bow with me. You don't have to say anything, but I do want you to be open to hear because that's what we're going to start, okay? So closing your eyes will definitely make it easier. Lord, we just pray right now over your people. Lord, we just declare that their ears will be open to hear what the Spirit is saying. Even now, I rebuke spiritual deafness. Any spirit that might be blocking off their ears from hearing your Holy Spirit, we command it, go. We command spiritual deafness, be gone. Lord, I declare that this is a group of people that will clearly hear your voice. And Lord, as they hear it, they will speak it and they will walk in it. Lord, you are desiring to bring in new things to their lives. You're desiring to pour out and work through them to change people around them. And Lord, they need to hear. So Lord, I declare now this is a people that hears your Holy Spirit voice. Lord, I thank you that you made it available for us to be filled with your Holy Spirit. You said if we have accepted you as our Savior, we simply need to ask you to be filled and you would fill us. And Lord, we declare and ask that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that we would be in unity and that we would hear what you were saying. Lord, we come against confusion. We come against blindness. We break it off, your people. We say, your people go forward, seeing the direction, seeing the destination, knowing what you have for them. We say, Lord, as their eyes and ears are open to what you have, depression leaves in Jesus' name. We say, anger and frustration leaves in Jesus' name. We say, with those words from Holy Spirit of clarity, your people walk free. They walk free, they walk alive, and they walk healthy. We declare this in Jesus' mighty name. Lord, before we lift our heads, I'm just going to ask you, Holy Spirit, to speak to the people here. Lord, if there is anything in our lives that is hindering us from hearing your voice, we ask that you just illuminate it to us, that you show us clearly, and that you work on our hearts to deal with it. Maybe it's as simple as spending too many hours watching our favorite romantic show and you're just like, hey, I want time. Maybe it's as complex as needing to go to someone and ask them to forgive you. But Holy Spirit, you bring it to us. You make it clear to us. This is between you and I. This is between each of us and you. And Holy Spirit, I thank you that as you reveal, we know it's because you love us and you want good things for us. Lord, we know that in your word you said, he that has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit says. And Holy Spirit, when you came, you encouraged the churches that you spoke to. You said, you're doing this well. Thank you for this. And then you said, but there's this one thing I need you to work on. I need you not to do this. I need you to deal with this. And Lord, you do the same for us because you love us. So Lord, speak it clearly. Let us hear. Let us hear. Lord, I ask as we finish the prayer today, I ask that you would instill and drop down into each of our spirits how and where we're going to take time for you on a daily basis. You see, each of us needs a secret place, a quiet place, a place where we can hear without distraction. And Lord, I know that there are some that need it more quiet than others. Some can just focus in, but others will need to shut out the noise, be where there's no distraction, and on purpose say, Holy Spirit, I'm here, I want to hear from you. Lord, I thank you. You give them that place, you give them that time. We ask it, we receive it. In Jesus' name, amen.